Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning, May 16. How we doing out there? Are you hanging in there? Hopefully staying active, staying positive. I feel like I say the same things every weekend, but it's so true. We have to stay positive and we have to stay active. Staying active will help our mindset, obviously, release the stress. And whether, you know, we're going for long walks or a jog or bike rides or, you know, playing golf, which is such a great release and such a great activity during this kind of social distancing new world of ours, you know, it's all good. So from an exercise standpoint, so I hope you're getting out there and doing something, moving a little bit every day. Oh, I'm so glad you can join us where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. And you can hear us online at 883-WPPB.org. And every show is archived on my website at annliguori.com in case you want to go back and listen to it at your leisure. And every show is turned into a podcast as well, so you can find it online. Well, I have been so impressed with the leadership that I've seen from both the PGA Tour under Commissioner Jay Monahan and the LPGA Tour under Commissioner Mike Wann's direction. And, you know, all the leaders from the governing bodies of golf, including Augusta National, the RNA, Royal and Ancient, the PGA of America, the PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, they've been in regular contact with each other. And they came out, obviously, a couple weeks back with this revised schedule. And it's just remarkable that they were able to communicate and they were able to organize and work together to achieve this. You know, it's a good lesson for, I guess, everybody else, right? But the PGA Tour announced recently that they have an extensive return to go document. And they outlined a very thorough plan for when their tour resumes. Now, the first event back will take place June 11 to 14 in Fort Worth, Texas, the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club. And in fact, the first four PGA Tour events will be played without spectators. And then they'll have to decide after that what's going to happen with spectators or no spectators. But the third tournament that is on this revised schedule is right in our own backyard, somewhat, the Travelers Championship. The Travelers Championship is played every year in Cromwell, Connecticut, outside of Hartford, at the TPC River Highlands course. It's the end of June. And again, this year there will be no spectators. And, you know, that's a shame for any event. But the Travelers has won many awards, Players Awards, Fan Awards. It's such a fan-friendly event. They have something for everybody, whether you're in the military or whether you're disabled or whether you're a working mother. Just really the whole week is full of, you know, programs that feature interacting with, you know, spectators and people who come to support the event. But this year they won't have the spectators, but they will do the tournament, which is good news. And Rory McIlroy has already committed to playing it. Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas. So they're getting a really big field, a really solid field nonetheless. And this morning you will hear from their tournament director, Nathan Grube, who will provide us insight as to how he and his team have been organizing a PGA Tour event in the midst of so much uncertainty. Nathan's always a great interview, and I look forward to your hearing my conversations with Travelers Championship Tournament Director, Nathan Grube. And in the second half of the show, we move a little closer to home. Carl Alexander, the president of the Met PGA, the Metropolitan Golf Association PGA. He's also the director of golf at the Golf Club of Purchase in Westchester. And he will join us to talk about the impact of the coronavirus on golf throughout the New York metropolitan area. And as I say, many of you are out there playing. You're either carrying your clubs or or pulling a pull cart, but you're out there walking and playing golf. So and obviously maintaining social distancing and other safety precautions, which golf has really done a great job doing. Now, the return to golf plan includes sending test kits to all the professionals before they leave home for the tournament in Fort Worth and before they go to any of these other events. And they will report once they get to the tournament destination, they will report to a testing area. And there will also be a designated hotel where they will undergo three screening methods, including a questionnaire, a thermal reading, and a PCR test, which is a nasal swab test, which is the most effective way for diagnosing COVID-19. They will, of course, limit the number of people who will be on the golf course. Families are not going to be permitted, just the players and their caddies, and of course, the people running the tournament. There will be no shaking of hands after the round, which is so traditional normally in golf. Of course, none of that will take place. And the tournament will not shut down if somebody tests positive. That person would have to withdraw from the tournament immediately and then self-isolate for at least 10 days. So the whole foundation of the plan is social distancing. And of course, they're working with medical personnel in each city and with medical experts to make sure that they're covering all their bases in terms of this return to golf plan. So it's exciting news, and you know, it could be really setting the initiative and the trend for what other sports do in their return as well. Sunday, tomorrow afternoon, the big match taking place at prestigious Seminole Golf Club in Juneau Beach, Florida. We will see the first live golf event since the pandemic shut down sports 2 months ago. Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson are going to play Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff in what's being billed as the TaylorMade Driving Relief. It's a skins game that will take place, as I said, at Seminole, which is just an incredible treasure, a Donald Ross gem. And it's the first time that Seminole will be actually hosting a televised event. So a lot of people will see this layout for the very first time. It will be televised by NBC and the Golf Channel. Live coverage will air tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And there will be a $3 million charity skins match benefiting COVID-19 relief. So again, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to watch this first live golf event in a long time, right? We're just starving for any live sporting events. And then the week after, Sunday, May 24th, at Medalist Golf Club in Jupiter, Florida, Turner Sports will broadcast the match, Champions for Charity. Now, this match will feature Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. It's going to be a better ball format on the front nine and a modified alternate shot on the back nine, meaning both players hit their tee shots and they take turns hitting from there. So that's an interesting format, kind of tricky. Alternate shot. It's easy for you to get annoyed at your partner if your partner hits a bad shot. So I think that's where the fun and the trash talk will come into play more than ever, you know, between these professional athletes. And remember, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are supposedly very good golfers, but still, they're not professionals. So they may hit a bad shot or two or three. And it will be interesting to see, you know, just the trash talk that takes place amongst these guys. And anyway, you know, it's hard to say where pro golf will be in the next couple months regarding spectators. There's much talk about the PGA Championship in August in San Francisco. Will that even be played? California really is rather slow to start. And to open things. And San Francisco, we're talking about a major championship to be played in San Francisco in August. So if it's there, will there indeed be spectators? And the U.S. Open golf was rescheduled for mid-September at Wingfoot. Will there be spectators there? The Ryder Cup taking place in September. in Wisconsin at Whistling Straight. Will there be spectators there at a Ryder Cup? Boy, it'd be hard to imagine a Ryder Cup without the fans, the passionate, patriotic fans there. But these are all big questions and will be answered in time. And then, of course, you have the Masters, which was rescheduled for November, which will also be interesting. In other sports, the NBA apparently will be making a decision in 2 to 4 weeks about its return. The NBA is thinking about having the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando and Las Vegas as two possible host sites. Last week, the Magic, Orlando Magic, received approval from local health officials and the NBA to test asymptomatic players for the coronavirus. Teams like the Lakers and Clippers in LA are also expected to receive clearance to do testing, and other cities could follow suit. Florida is really interested in being a restart site for professional sports leagues. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said at a press conference earlier this week that Florida would welcome all professional sports teams to practice and play in Florida. There have been reports that Major League Soccer may have their season in Orlando. And Florida Governor DeSantis said, "Do it. We want to have you here. People are starved to have some of this back into our lives. I think we can certainly do it in a way that's been safe." Arizona Governor Doug Ducey said that Arizona would be open to games without spectators for all major sports starting today. So Florida and Arizona ready to rock and roll as far as professional sports go. Major League Baseball, talking about the season starting perhaps around the 4th of July weekend in ballparks without fans. Spring training could start in early to mid-June, but an agreement with the Players Association is needed, and that could be difficult. There is a proposal for a revenue split that would be unprecedented for baseball. I know the Players Association is not going to be happy about that. Years ago, remember that 7.5-month strike? It was, what, 1994, 95? I remember covering that baseball players' strike. And they spent 7+ months fighting off a plan of revenue sharing. So I don't think that's going to happen this time either. They are talking about each team playing about 82 regular season games against opponents in its own division, plus interleague matchups limited to, say, the AL East versus the NL East and the AL Central versus the NL Central and AL West versus the NL West. So let's see how that all plays out. And NASCAR will be back. Their first race will be tomorrow at Darlington Raceway in South Carolina. And that is the news. Hopefully we'll have more news and sports next week with more maybe training schedules and more decisions on starting seasons. But I'm excited that golf is going to be played tomorrow, a live skins match on NBC at 2 o'clock. Don't forget to tune in and see Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson taking on Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff. That should be fun at the ever-prestigious Seminole Golf Club in Juneau Beach, Florida. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do, let me tell you that a sports interview with Ann LaGorry is brought to you by Dune Jewelry and my Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. That's Dune, D-U-N-E, jewelry.com. And by Peak Vision Sunglasses. That's P-E-A-K, Vision Sunglasses. Zero distortion, unmatched clarity. Change your game, peakvision.com. We're going to talk a little bit about organizing a tournament, a professional tournament, in such uncertain times. And Nathan Grubb, the tournament director for the Travelers Championship, which takes place June 25th to 28th, joins us this morning. Nathan, welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Anne, thanks so much for having me on. Glad to be here.
How are you?
I have no complaints. A little snow on the ground, which is always fun for the middle of May. But I'm good. I'm good. The kids looked at it last night and went, "Wait, what? Is that snow?" And I said, "Yeah, guys, it's New England. Remember, it's going to be 80 last week. It's going to be snowy this week. So no, we're having a good time."
Another curveball during this just crazy, crazy time. What is going
That's
on?
Right. It is, I tell you what, we have never done something like this. And I mean, in this world of event management and putting tournaments on, you try very hard to plan for every contingency possible. And, you know, over the last 15 years up here in Connecticut with the Travelers, that's what we've done. We've seen a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, there's been some crazy things that have been thrown at us, but we have never tried to plan for a PGA Tour event in this environment. It has been one of the most unique things we've all been through, but it's also one of those things where everybody's kind of going through the same thing together. It's not one of those, you know, sometimes things hit certain industries and, you know, it affects certain sectors. I mean, this is affecting everyone. And so every step that we're taking and everything that we're doing is something that everybody else is going through. So there's something that's very interesting about it that we've never been through.
So take us through the last couple of weeks and months. I mean, what has it been like from a planning perspective with all of this uncertainty?
So I guess if you go back to March when the Players Championship, you know, suspended play and then they ended up, you know, canceling the event in the next few events, that sent just a very resounding wake-up call to, I think, a lot of people, not only in our industry, but in other industries, going, okay, this is really, like, golf was one of the last ones, I think, that was really impacted at this level, because, I mean, golf's unique. It can be played at a socially distanced, you know, in a socially distanced way. You know, the players can play apart. You can do it without fans. I mean, I think there was a lot of people looking at golf so differently. But then when that happened, I mean, we were at the time, so it was March, and our tournament wasn't until June. So, you know, there was this block of months, but we all went, oh, my gosh, we are going to have to plan for a scenario. Like, what if we got canceled? What if this continues and stretches on? And so we got our team together, our board of directors, Travelers, and Andy Bassett, and then sat down and said, okay, what would this look like? And we started to work backwards from a canceled event all the way to a limited build to just fans to no fans. I mean, there was probably five different scenarios we looked at that were really very different PGA Tour events, you know, different financial models, different charitable impact, different crowd flow, different public safety regulations. So, but we had to kind of plan for all of them. And so and trying to do that all remote, right? Usually I would say our typical pattern would be lock ourselves in a room. We have a huge whiteboard at the office, you know, that spans the entire distance of one wall. And we'll dry erase board the heck out of stuff, you know, put it up, bad idea, let's erase it. Let's go here. What are the positives and negatives? What are the pros and cons here? And we do that all the time. And we didn't have our whiteboard. We couldn't be all in the same room. So you're having to do all these things, planning remotely with, you know, questionable internet connections and people not sure how they're logging in to, is it Skype? Is this a WebEx call? Is this a Microsoft Teams? Is this a, you know, wait, what conference line are we on? So that has presented a whole new set of logistics too, to try to do this in that environment. So that's been very interesting.
So I know, you know, you normally take a whole year to plan the next Travelers. And, you know, just in a couple months, you went from hosting the tournament as usual with spectators to perhaps no tournament at all, to hosting the tournament with no spectators. So, I don't know, it just had to be crazy, right?
So that is probably the best term for it, because it's to host a PGA Tour, right? So I remember it was probably, let's see, it was mid-March, maybe April, we start looking at different ways that we're doing things. And you know, we had already started in motion some production plans and, you know, posters and advertising campaigns and, you know, different things like that. And one of the ones came across, somebody emailed me something, and there was all these pictures of some different things that we had planned on releasing, you know, with our field and, you know, Rory had committed at the time and Justin Thomas. And, you know, our field was shaping up to be, you know, tremendous, that we were getting out there, you know, for ticket sales and stuff like that. And then I started looking at all these pictures of all these crowds and, you know, things that have been kind of the hallmark of our event that we use in all of our marketing material. And I looked and went, we can't use that. It was just, it was this weird realization that, I mean, to get one of those perfect pictures of, you know, the 18th hole on Sunday at, you know, 5:30 when the leaders are coming up 18, like it takes so much to get to that point. And we were, you know, we use a ton of those pictures in our marketing, and it was like, you know, we're not using crowd shots anymore. Like, crowd shots have a very different connotation right now than they ever have in the past. So, you know, you come across some of that stuff every once in a while, and you're like, oh yeah, no, we can't talk about this event the same way. We can't plan the event the same way. And so that's why it's been this journey of saying, okay, you know, what is 2020 going to be like? I mean, one, it's going to be nothing like any other event that we've done in the past, and we can't compare the two. You know, it'd be apples and oranges. If you try to say, you know, this year without fans, it's going to be, you know, so different than last year with fans. But the two are so different. I mean, trying to put on a tour event in this environment, it's something so much bigger than a golf tournament right now. You know, it's about what's going on in the state, what's going on in the country, what's going on in the world, and where does our piece of that play into this? You know, is it safe to host a professional sporting event? Well, if it's safe, then yes, we can do it. If it's not safe, then we're not going to do it. But we're assuming that it's going to be, you know, safe to host this next month. And if we're able to do that, it's playing out at such a broader level that we're very, very proud to be part of that message about, you know, getting back to quote unquote, whatever this normal is, and being able to host an event that people are excited about. They're going to be able to watch on TV. They're going to be able to say, okay, this is something that does happen every summer, and we're going to be able to, you know, do this again. So being a part of something that's much broader than anything we've ever done before has been kind of special to be a part of.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. And, you know, just getting back to the marketing posters, et cetera. What did you do? Airbrush out the crowds?
It just became something very different, right? I mean, it became, you know, one, I mean, how are we marketing it? Like, I mean, trying to be obviously very sensitive to what's going on and, you know, not coming across as, you know, tone deaf, but hey, we're going to host a PGA Tour event. Like, you know, there's a lot of big and serious things going on right now. And we completely know that, kind of like what I said a second ago, like our story is woven in there somewhere, right? Like,
right.
You know, the state's looking to reopen, the country's looking to reopen, you know, what different things are going to be able to be done safely. And so our marketing material isn't really a kind of a marketing campaign. It's kind of like, okay, where do we fit into this story? And when it's appropriate, you know, talking about what we're doing from a health and safety standpoint, and when it's appropriate, you know, being a part of what the governor's saying about, you know, what's going to happen in the state over the next few months. And so it's not a normal quote unquote marketing campaign.
Yes.
It is a, you know, it's kind of a community conversation, for lack of a better term, of like, hey, where does the community feel? Where does the state feel like we fit into this conversation? And then just coming alongside that. So it's a very different quote unquote campaign than we've ever done before.
Absolutely. And, you know, golf can be an inspirational tool. The tournament, these, you know, any kind of live sports programming can really be a therapeutic, inspirational vehicle for our country right now, don't you think?
I do, and that's actually been interesting. A lot of the feedback that I received, whether it was, you know, email, stuff through social, you know, phone calls that we got, when we were announced that we were going to be, you know, kind of this made-for-TV version of the Travelers Championship, it was kind of that response of, okay, that's like, there's going to be something out there that we can, you know, as a community can watch, or that we as a country can be like, hey, you know, it kind of got to the core of like, what is sports? Sports is us getting together, you know, in some form or fashion, whether it's, hey, we all saw that on TV, or we all got together and do X, and, you know, it's going to be the former in this case, where, you know, we all saw that on TV, but it's a conversation, right? It's, you can say, hey, did you see what happened yesterday, to, you know, your friends all around the country, and there's a way that it kind of bonds us together. And so, I mean, sports are so unique in that. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love what I do, is that I get to be a part of something so much bigger than all of us, and you get to help set this stage, create these memories that, you know, people everywhere around the world can talk about. And so to have that opportunity come back, you know, where it's live sports, where, you know, people are going to be watching it, people are going to be commenting on. People are going to be rooting for their favorite players, and it's something that does bring us together. I mean, sport, any sport, you know, whatever it is, but it just happens to be golf is the one that I think is going to be getting on the world scene sooner maybe than some of the other ones. But it helps us to have a unifying conversation to talk about, and we all have our opinions. We all have, you know, oh, you should have made that, or I can't believe you did that. You know, I mean, it's a point of conversation. I think it's going to be exciting to have that back.
We're talking to Nathan Grubb, Tournament Director of the Travelers Championship. It's the third PGA Tour event that's part of this revised schedule taking place June 25th through the 28th. And Nathan, the PGA Tour is supposed to come out with their protocols for safety any day now. So what do you have in place for the Travelers in terms of testing and safety?
Quite a bit at this point. Oh, to your point, the tour, we're working very, very closely with the PGA Tour on, I mean, everybody agrees with the same statement. One, if it's not safe, we're not going to do it. And so safety is absolutely the number one thing. And then on the testing front, I mean, Commissioner Monahan has said the same thing very carefully. Like, look, if we're not going to be taking things away from a healthcare system and from people that need it, like this, I mean, tests have to be widely available. The ability to do testing cannot, you know, compromise anything that's happening in the community, in the state. And so everybody agrees on that, you know, just kind of that philosophy that, look, safety first, and we're not going to pull stuff away from where it's needed. So assuming that both of those things everybody agrees on at the federal level, at the state level, there's going to be a number of tests. We've been working with the tour on this, you know, how the players are tested, how the caddies are tested, how our staff is tested, how the maintenance crew, you know, the television crews, at the course replay, TPC, River Highlands, how their staff is tested, how our volunteers are tested. And again, back to what we were talking about at the beginning, it is a whole new plan that we have not done before. So really, kind of tracking every single person that's going to show up at the golf course every single day. Yeah, how do we track, you know, where do you wear masks? Where are the hand sanitizing stations? Where are the hand washing stations? You know, where are we taking temperatures? Where are we doing this? And, you know, how are we processing the tests? And if somebody does so positive, you know, how do we quarantine them? I mean, going through all of those logistics has been, I mean, it's been a challenge, but I also think that I mean, probably any business over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months is going to have to ask these same questions and look at things the exact same way. If we're going to open up, how is it going to look and how is it going to look differently? And if we can do this in a way that everybody's comfortable with, which again, we won't do unless everybody is, I think there's a lot of people that can learn from this, you know, and I fully assume that we're going to get a lot of questions post-event or even leading up in the event from other industries and other events, and other businesses and other sporting groups saying, hey, what did you do about this? Or what about this? What about this? Or what would you do different? And kind of back to that point of being part of a broader conversation. I mean, we want to help, you know, sports and organizations figure out how to take a step forward in a safe way. But it's going to be like nothing we've ever done or seen on property from a monitoring and a testing standpoint to pull it off in a safe way.
Sure, and you'll have two PGA Tour events before yours where you can, you know, observe and get some feedback on how it worked at the Colonial and at the RBC Heritage.
It is, and those, what's very cool about the tour, and you know this, Anna, I'm sure your listeners do, or at least they've heard you say it, the PGA Tour is a very close-knit family from the standpoint of everybody shares ideas. Like, nobody holds on to stuff like, oh, I'm going to hold on to that and not tell other tournaments. I mean, Michael Tote, the tournament director at Colonial for the Charles Schwab, and then for Steve Wilmot at RBC down in Carolinas, both of those guys, and then Jason Langwall for Rock Mortgage up in Detroit, kind of those first four events that are the made-for-TV, we have all been talking, sharing ideas. Hey, what did you do about player shuttles here? What did you do about hand sanitizers here? What did you do about X? And everybody's sharing ideas, and the tour has been great to get us on calls, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week to see what ideas we can share. So it's been a good group. We don't feel like we're going through this alone. We feel like it's, you know, we're going through it together. But It is. It's the first time for all of us. And then we'll be on calls and someone will go, oh my gosh, I hadn't thought about that. That's a great question. You know, and then we'll all write it down and be like, okay, what are we going to do about it? So, but it's, I feel very fortunate to be going through this with a group like those tournaments, with a group like the PGA Tour that is very, it's a collaborative group. And, there's no pride of ownership on ideas. Everybody shares ideas. And, it's been a good group to go with it, to go through this with.
That's good to know that you guys are talking to each other constantly. Well, you know, everyone and everybody has taken a hit from an economic standpoint, Nathan. I mean, everybody is affected in some way. So how will having no spectators impact the travelers from an economic standpoint? And can you make up those dollars that are going to be missed by having, you know, no galleries, no spectators?
Yeah. So that has been kind of what I was talking about a second ago, where it's one of those things we've seen industries be hit before, right? Whether it's automotive or insurance or healthcare or, you know, financial, like whatever it is, like you've kind of seen segments of your sponsors affected over the years. And I mean, we have, you know, close to 400 different partners that invest with us. And so you've always kind of seen this ebb and flow, but we've never seen something like this that everybody was affected by. And then when you throw in that not only are all your sponsors affected by it, then you look at your business model as a PGA Tour event. And I mean, it's net proceeds go to charity, right? I mean, you sell stuff, you pay to build it, and then the net proceeds go to charity. And so, I mean, that's your business model, and you're always finding creative ways to sell new stuff, whether it's hospitality or branding opportunities or military appreciation or Women's Day or all these really cool initiatives that we have, you know, junior mini golf, you know, all these things that have been really fun over the years. They were all ways to increase involvement with sponsors, you know, and they'll you know, be a part of it and come alongside you and make investments with you, and the net proceeds go to charity. So we have none of that now. You know, we have no assets to really put forward to have these net proceeds. And so what we had to do, again, starting to have that conversation in the April timeframe, excuse me, with our sponsor saying, hey, there's going to be limited inventory and then maybe even no inventory. You know, what do you think? And it has been incredible, Ann, to see what our sponsors have done. They have said, look, we understand. I mean, I've had this conversation so many times, and it's just been every time I hear it, I'm so appreciative. Our sponsor's saying, look, we understand. We're having tough times too, but we still want to make a donation. Even though we don't have a skybox, a suite, can't do pro-ams or whatever, we understand what happens to the net proceeds and the charities that you serve and the, you know, where that money goes. We're going to make a donation to you just straight out, and here you go, and use it for your tournament charities. And that has happened so many times with our partners as we're talking to all of them. And so we're going to be able to make a significant donation this year, even without having all the infrastructure. And so I'm, I don't know, this sounds kind of hokey, but like, I'm so proud of our partners that they understand. I mean, you know, we talk about charity every year, about the impact of the tournament. And I think it has resonated because our partners have said it to us, going, okay, we understand. Like, here's a donation. Here's this. And it's been very cool to see. And so over the next month, I mean, I know we're going to get more. I mean, volunteers making contributions, ticket buyers making contributions. It has been it's been pretty moving to see. And so our charities are still going to benefit significantly from the tournament. Just being here and us being able to talk about it and us being able to have these network conversations with our partners. So I don't know what the exact number is going to be here in the, like I said, in the next month, 5-6 weeks. But I can already tell you it's going to be a significant number. And at a time when our charities need it, they're going to be able to get some good donations.
That's amazing. And I know every year 100% of your net proceeds go to charity. And last year, the Travelers Championship generated more than $2.1 million for 150 charities throughout the area up there. And since 1952, the tournament has generated more than $42 million for charity. I mean, you and your team do just an incredible job, Nathan. Last question, because we're running out of time here. Do you think you'll have more players commit because they want to play as much and need to play as much as possible? Or will there be less top players committing because of all the uncertainty? I know you have Rory McIlroy committed a long time ago, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, Bubba. How's it look at this point?
The short answer is it looks crazy, and we could have probably the best field we've ever had here. Because we have nobody has said, you know what, I was committed, I'm not going to play now. There have been so many players calling who've played here before, who have maybe haven't been back in a couple years, that are coming, like the field strength. And I think it is because of the condensed schedule. Everybody's looking to play. I think the reputation of the golf course stands on its own, that the players love competing here. But it is looking like we could have one of the strongest fields we have ever had. And when you look at, you know, the top 10, the top 15, the top 20 guys, we're going to get a lot more commitments over the next 3-4 weeks from guys that we know we've been talking to. So it should be a great show on TV for people to watch. But it has turned out to be just one of those things, the timing and all of it, where the field's going to be really, really good this year.
Nathan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for getting up early on this Mother's Day, and have a lovely day, and hopefully see you in a couple weeks.
Anne, thank you so much for the time. Hope to see you soon.
Nathan Grube, Tournament Director of the Travelers Championship. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and coming up, we'll get a sense of how the golf industry in our New York metropolitan area is faring during these crazy times. Carl Alexander, the president of the Met PGA and director of golf at the Golf Club of Purchase, will join us. We'll be right back. Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria is brought to you by Dune Jewelry and My Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. That's Dune, D-U-N-E, jewelry.com. And by Peak Vision Sunglasses. That's P-E-A-K, Vision Sunglasses. Zero distortion, unmatched clarity. Change your game, peakvision.com. President of the Met PGA and director of golf at the Golf Club of Purchase. Good morning, Carl. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, yay, golfers must be thrilled they can play some golf, although there are a lot of restrictions. And, you know, Purchase is not far from New Rochelle, the hotbed of the pandemic in the New York area. So what has it been like in your neck of the woods from a private club and public club standpoint, Carl?
Well, it's been challenging for sure. The state guidelines have, you know, adjusted weekly, if not daily. There's a lot of confusion out there with some clubs. Public facilities are open with golf carts and tee times and lots of operations, and your private clubs are not. So, you know, there's a lot of confusion out there, but I think golf is really good at adapting to whatever situations we're faced with. I can tell you that the people that I see that are out playing and walking and carrying their bag and observing social distancing are really enjoying the fact that they're outside getting some exercise. And we do believe that we can promote golf in a safe and a responsible manner.
So first of all, tell us what the president of the Met PGA does. Just enlighten us with what do you do beyond your director of golf at the Golf Club of Purchase?
Well, right now, during this crisis, I am working with Jeff Voorhees, our executive director, and all the other allied associations. So the Metropolitan Golf Association, the golf course superintendents, club managers, we're all working together to have a unified approach to how we can open. The PGA of America has come out with our back to golf protocols and a golf operations playbook. So as president, my job right now is to really promote to our professionals, our 800 professionals in the metropolitan area, the guidelines from which we should open golf in a responsible and a safe manner. We also have tournament schedules. We have educational programs. We've got different services that we're now adjusting to. Many things are going online, obviously, and lots of Zoom and conference calls. So we're just trying to continue to promote the PGA professional as somebody that can help everybody through this crisis. We all know golf is one of the most philanthropic sports there are. And so we're just trying to find our place and how we can help with this crisis.
And I know you've written several letters to the governor, right?
Well, as an association with the other allied associations, we've really just tried to continue to present how golf would open, removing all the touch points within the within a golf experience, keeping doors open, not having things out on the golf course like ball washers and things people can touch. So we're just trying to get in front of them and show them the ways with which we think we can open in a responsible manner, just to keep that line of communication open. We're not necessarily pushing right now for, hey, we should be open and clubhouses open and food and beverage operations. And today's Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all those who are listening. You know, the fact is we're not saying that we should have big social gatherings. We're saying that under the guidelines of the state, we think we can operate.
And what does operate mean? So a lot of the assistant pros are not working, correct? There's just a limited number of people actually working at these clubs.
Correct. We are still under a non-essential worker mandate, which means only maintenance and security are allowed to be at the club working. And golf professionals can be put under that security title to just make sure that people are out there observing social distancing and following the rules. So your assistant golf professionals and for that matter, the golf shop managers, and there are so many people in the golf industry, the economic impact for the state is pretty large. And so right now we are a skeleton crew. How golf looks at your private club, the golf professionals, the head professionals, are really holding down the fort themselves. And, you know, it's really members are out there by themselves on their own. And we are continually asking people while they're out there by themselves to observe all the social distancing rules and not ruin it for everybody else by tailgating in the parking lot or playing in groups larger than 2 to 4 people and, you know, just observing the rules.
Have you heard a lot of backlash from people who don't think golf courses should be open?
I wouldn't say a lot. I think that, you know, we occasionally get the photographs of people that are breaking the rules and they become very sensationalized. But by and large, I've found that people are really trying to observe the rules and doing what's right. We have not heard. I mean, we certainly have clubs that would like to open. You know, every club's different, and every county in Westchester County, or excuse me, in the state are different. So some are suffering more cases than others. So it's hard to say that there should be a blanket policy across the state. I think you're seeing some counties that have very few and limited cases, and maybe they can open up a little bit more. But by and large, I'm not seeing a lot of pushback.
Right, right. I think, you know, golf can really set the trend, I think, because, yeah, I think more and more people are actually playing golf because they realize it's a sport you can do with your family, you can social distance, you're outside, you're getting fresh air, you're on a beautiful piece of property somewhere. And in a kind of a weird way, maybe this crazy time, maybe it's actually growing the game.
Oh, there's no question about it. We have a lot of evidence to that. Me personally, I'm seeing that, as you mentioned, families are coming out. People that would normally not be out playing golf are coming out with their mothers and fathers, and families are playing together. It's one of the few things you can do, hiking, fishing, and golfing. You know, these are things that you can definitely do outside. You can feel good about it, getting the exercise, getting the fresh air. So I think it is going to provide us an opportunity, and I think PGA professionals are going to seize on that and continue to grow that experience, which is being outside with your family, getting some exercise, being healthy, and enjoying the sport of golf.
And then the opposite of that, how do you think clubs are going to rebound from this economically? Because obviously the normal operation, we're far from seeing that, and clubs are losing money big time.
Clubs are losing money. We are hopeful that the government steps in and helps those clubs that need financial help. I think clubs will rebound for sure because I think the appetite for getting back to the golf and getting back to your club is going to be strong when we do come back. However, the landscape is going to look different. You're not going to see big social gatherings, big parties. I think the outing business is probably going to be put on hold for some time. We're going to have to adapt. And I think, you know, PGA golf professionals are born entrepreneurs, and we're going to figure out how to adapt to the new environment that we're under. And, you know, I think the good, if there's anything that comes out of this, as you said, people are going to look to golf in a way that they didn't before, and they're going to look at golf as being part of the solution, not part of the problem, when this is all said and done. But financially, it is going to be a different landscape for many.
Carl, let's look at the U.S. Open. It's going to be at Wingfoot September 14th through the 20th. And, you know, Mamaroneck, it's located right there near the hotbed, right in the hotbed. Do you think they're going to have spectators by then? I mean, they are selling tickets. They're still selling tickets. So that's a good sign.
But that is a good sign. You know, we're a long way from September. I think the one thing we know is they're learning new things about the COVID-19 every day. It's really hard to imagine that we're going to have large groups of people watching live golf. I would say no. I don't know that a lot of people will go out and watch it. So even if they do allow it, I think that as we learn more, you might find that they retract the tickets. But at this time, I think it's a good idea to be positive and say that come September, we will be able to do this. But frankly, I would be surprised.
So you don't think there will be spectators at the U.S. Open?
Not like we have had in the past. You know, maybe they'll have to limit it and limit, you know, if you've got grandstands around the 18th hole, I don't know that it's going to be packed like it used to be. I think they might have to have social distancing in the stands even.
Right. And as far as the tournament schedule for the club pros, that has been altered. Is there any revised schedule out yet or not yet?
Not yet. You know, we're still working on, we've canceled everything for April and May, and we're looking at a June calendar and moving things back into the fall. We're hopeful that we can host, you know, our larger events. The smaller events will certainly be canceled, but the larger events we're hoping we can push back. But there are just so many unknowns that you can make a calendar and you can make a schedule, and then we'll have to see what happens.
Carl, thank you so much. I wish we could go on and talk more, but we're out of time. And just so great to catch up with you. Continued success. And thanks for leading us all here as the president of the Met PGA. Really appreciate your work and all the good work that you do.
Thank you, Ann. And good luck to everybody out there. I look forward to seeing you on the golf course.
My thanks to Nathan Grube, the tournament director of the Travelers Championship. My thanks to Carl Alexander, the president of the Met PGA and the director of golf at the Golf Club of Purchase in Westchester. And my thanks to our studio engineer, Kyle Lynch. Have a safe weekend, everybody. Be well, be positive, and stay active. I'll talk to you next Saturday morning from 9 to 10, right here on Sports Interview with Ann Liguori.